You know, I've used the word wretched once or twice this season already. More times than I thought I would use it on, well, I guess it's May 7th now, after midnight on the East Coast. Gut-wrenching, I believe, has also been used. Terrible, bad, awful, horrific, embarrassing, ugly, and let me tell you, all of those adjectives and more apply tonight. They lead 3-2 heading into the bottom of the eighth inning. They lose this game 8-3. It's the second time in three games where the top relief arms don't come through. First Garcia and then Hoffman, both with some poor pitching. Perhaps fatigue, maybe, I don't know, rearing its ugly head. But the truth is, the offense no shows again. They can't make anything easy on anyone. And the offense no showing, essentially forcing the highest leverage arms into action yet again. And once more, the Jays snatch defeat from the jaws of victory. And here we are. The Jays sitting 16-19, three games under 500. You're listening, of course, to Jays Talk. Show Ali with you. We're live on the Sportsnet Radio Network. We're also streaming on Sportsnet.ca and on the Sportsnet app. Because it's so late and because the Stanley Cup playoffs are in full swing and keeping everyone pretty busy, it's just Tom Young and myself keeping the lights on at Baseball Control. So texts are the way to reach us tonight. 590-590, name and location. The People's text line always open. I'll read as many of your texts as we can squeeze in here tonight. Standard messaging and data rates may apply. And don't worry, we will get back to taking your calls on the weekend and beyond. But 590-590, name and location is the text line. You know, initially, I thought we would primarily be discussing what happened in the eighth inning with the Kirk Clement play, right? Runner takes off for third on the bunt. I thought Kirk made, frankly, a terrific play. Maybe the best possible play a catcher could make on such a sack bunt to throw out the runner at third. I mean, that ball arrives at third a few steps ahead of the runner. They had him dead to rights. Ball goes off of Clement's glove or his wrist. I mean, that ball could not have been more perfectly placed by Kirk when it comes to a throw on the run. But ultimately, again, the offense letting this team down. And I mean, look, Jimmy Garcia and Jeff Kauffman, they got to wear it a little bit. I mean, you can't completely absolve them. But, I mean, the truth is, they've been, I mean, I've used the term redlined. I mean, they've been redlined a lot, right? I think with Jimmy Garcia, it was our first look at him since the blown save on Saturday. And this comes on the heels of the postgame that afternoon on the weekend where Schneider was saying, you know, I'd give the ball to Jimmy 100 times out of 100. And look, I criticize Schneider for not pulling Jimmy late in that game where it looked like he didn't quite have it that night. And tonight, like, he was definitely battling again. Now, it was against the top of the order in what is a very top-heavy lineup, but it wasn't easy going for Jimmy, right? A tough start with a leadoff walk. The runner steals second. He gets down 3-1 to the next guy, which frankly shouldn't happen. And then on the bunt, the botched catch ties the game. But Schneider, I think Schneider made the right call in pulling Jimmy because, again, he probably should have the other day. He does there. He goes to Jeff Hoffman. I think that is the right move. But gosh, Jeff Hoffman with like his first really bad outing as a Jay. I mean, just some poor execution. And I'm not even really sure we can say. Maybe I think you can blame fatigue for Jimmy Garcia. I'm not sure you can blame fatigue for Hoffman. I mean, he just hasn't pitched that much. I don't think he's pitched since May 2nd. I guess it's the 7th now. This game largely took place on the 6th. I can't be the main reason. Right on the Ohapi single, a splitter left way too high in the zone. It hangs for Ohapi to take the lead. On the Moncada home run, a fastball right down the middle. Now, again, it was 97 miles an hour, but Moncada clearly sitting fastball, and he smashed that thing. Didn't have a ton of movement either. Moncada able to get to it, and then the slider hangs a bit to Joe Adell, and Adell smashes it for another solo home run, and that's all she wrote. But my goodness, that is ugly. That is an absolutely ugly way to lose a game. But again, like, can I really ultimately, after Jimmy Garcia and Jeff Hoffman, I still think after tonight, even for Jimmy Garcia, who's now unfortunately had two bad outings in a row, can we really blame Jimmy Garcia more than you can give him credit based on things that have happened this season? Certainly that's the case for Jeff Hoffman. I mean, like, he has been arguably one of the most electric parts of the season to date. And it was a bad sight for him tonight. No question. Not going to absolve him of that. But I can't help but think that if you had made this a bit more of an easy time for literally any pitcher, Jose Urania, who we'll get to in a sec, or any of the other pitchers out of the bullpen, all of whom pitched pretty well until Jimmy Garcia and Jeff Hoffman. I mean, you're looking at a different sort of game, right? I think if you're like, if you look at the quality of competition, right? And again, like losing to the Guardians in the way they did, not great. Losing to a lot of the teams in which they have snatched defeat from the jaws of victory, you can't look past those teams by any means. But losing to the Angels the way they did, a team that was scuffling in their own right, a team that had already only won 13 games, and now that's only three games fewer, less than the Blue Jays, but still, that is not where you want to be. Now, again, there's still a lot of season left, but I mean, I don't know. You don't want to go into the rest of this road trip. I said I think you needed to come home from this road trip 4-2 for it to be deemed success. Well, you've already used up one of your losses. Now, it's tough to sweep teams on the road, but still, good heavens. What an ugly, ugly outing, considering how, frankly, I thought Jose Urania pitched pretty well, all things considered. But we'll get to him. Let's go to the text line. 590-590, name and location. That'll be the primary way you reach me during this late West Coast swing, unless things change. But for now, 590-590, name and location. Let's get to the text line. Let's see. This one, I mean, this is a pretty simple one. There's no name on this text, by the way. And again, name and location. So just so I can give you a shout out. But this one just says, pretty, I think it encapsulates a lot of the things we've talked about already. That was a very unfortunate performance from the Blue Jays tonight. Have they pushed our bullpen too hard and too fast already? I mean, I think there's a lot of room for who they is. They probably could apply to certainly the offense. I mean, they could probably apply to, if you really want, John Schneider. They could probably apply to Ross Atkins and the way he's constructed this roster offensively, right? I mean, they could apply to a lot of people. On games like tonight, I feel like the culprits, it's never like one person. Like, it's not just Jeff Hoffman. It's not just Jimmy Garcia. Frankly, it's not just John Schneider. It's kind of just everything. It's everything we've talked about, not just this season, not just what Blair and Barker are talking about when they do the post game or when they have their shows during the day. It's everything we've talked about on the network dating back to the beginning of last season, essentially. Dating back to even perhaps even really longer than that. It's just these are the kinds of issues that are rearing their ugly heads. Ethan in the foothills in Alberta. Ethan says, or Ethan in Foothills, Alberta, I believe is what it is. Ethan, pardon me. Ethan says, hey, show, amazing how the Jays make a bad team like the Halos look great. I also see many quote-unquote bad teams blasting home runs night after night on the MLB game recaps. It's necessary to do the calculus. If you would give up 10 runs but save two, you still lose 8-3. It's true. Yeah, I mean, you're not wrong, Ethan. And it's true. I mean, like, the Jays, even with a late Anthony Santander home run tonight, I believe, without checking, I believe they still trail every other team in Major League Baseball in home runs. It's a tough look. That's a tough look. Let's see. This one is Ryan in Innisfil. Ryan, usually hear from you via the phones, but thanks for texting in. Bullpen was lackluster, but the consistent downfall is the bats. Time for a change. This is what I was getting at. This year's problem stems from the last 3 years. Jay from Coquitlam, top five payroll, bottom five performance. Wasting a gravy start from Urania, probably the worst game from Bichette this season. Time to move him out of the leadoff spot and put Springer back in. But then, like, you know, if you do that, and I'm not going to completely argue with you, Jay, but if you take Bo out of the leadoff spot, put Springer back atop the order. So you're going to go what? Springer, Vladdy, Santander, question mark? Kirk? Varsho? Is that where you put Bo? I mean, maybe. It certainly could work. It should. And again, I said before, as long as you're not married to a certain roster construction, roster lineup, I think it's fine. Like, I think it's fine to make changes. But again, I think the truth is, to everyone's points, the truth is that this lineup just isn't very good after the top four or five batters. Like, there were a lot of texts here. There's a text here that just says, this is from Cam in Cape Breton. The text today literally just said, cannot do this. And honestly, I don't blame you, Cam. That text came in like half an hour ago, so I don't actually blame you for that one. This one just says, when the hell are they going to get rid of Jimmy Garcia? Wow. I don't think they're going to probably get rid of Jimmy Garcia. Honestly, I'm not absolving him of stuff, but at the same time, he's got to pitch better, but he's also got to be put into a better position. Like, I'm not sure many bullpens would survive what the Jays offense is putting the pitching staff through, relievers and starters. I think that's just the reality. Even the best bullpens, best starting rotations in Major League Baseball would falter when they are being provided with as little run support as the Jays are providing their pitching staff. I think that's where we're at right now. The truth is, that's the truth, right? I mean, I remember in the offseason, we were talking about, like, at what point can you judge the team? And I said I would wait to make sweeping declarations until May. Well, it's May 7th now here on the East Coast. It's been May for a week, and not a lot has changed from the declarations and observations we had for most of the year, right? So something's got to give here. Something's got to give. 590-590, name and location. That's where you can reach me on the People's Text Line. I'll continue reading your text. I did want to get to, there was a text that talking about wasting. I think it was from Jay in BC, talking about the Jose Urania start and wasting a pretty good start from someone we meaning most of us, had never really seen before, unless you'd really watched his Texas career or his, even the one start he made for the Mets this year. You know, he's a journeyman, right? And from Urania, 4 1/3, 4 hits, 2 runs, both of which were earned on the 2-run bomb from Ward. 1 walk, 2 strikeouts. He faced 18 batters, 74 pitches. 52 of them were strikes. Pre-game, Schneider had said he was sitting around 75 to 80 pitches for his max pitch count today. And look, I mean, you have a guy who was just signed making a start for the Jays. Again, a guy who has largely been a journeyman. He's actually approaching almost 1,000 career innings pitched, considering he's been around for so long. It's pretty impressive. He was around 951 entering tonight. But when with players like this, right, expectations always play a factor. I think for me, at least, and I think for you guys too, and tell me if I'm wrong, but the expectations were probably pretty low, right? And when the pregame scenario is 75 to 80 pitches and he throws 30 pitches in the first inning, I think you believe whatever expectations you have are just going to be completely torpedoed. I thought maybe 3 2/3, maybe 4 innings after he threw 30 pitches in the first inning. But hey, 4 1/3 and only allowing 2 earned runs, I will absolutely take it. He really bounced back. I mean, 14 in the second, 7 pitches in the third. He was helped out, if you guys remember, by Andrés Giménez making a very nice catch, kind of sliding on his knees to end the fourth inning with 15 pitches before he was lifted for green in the fifth, 8 pitches in the fifth. So again, I mean, he met expectations, I guess. That's a win in and of itself. But is he going to make his next start? I think barring a total meltdown in this game tonight, which did not happen, the answer was likely always going to be yes. And like, look, I'm not saying he was amazing. He was fine. He didn't light the world on fire. There was some luck involved, certainly. Wildly loud outs. My goodness. Maybe some of the loudest outs you will ever hear. So I think there was certainly some luck involved, and maybe more outs than I'd like that were hit right to the warning track. I think there was one out where Varsho looked like he put his back against the wall at like dead center. So you don't want that, certainly. But again, like, if Urania is going to make another start, he and the rest of these guys just need some run support. I mean, maybe Urania more than most, certainly, but it remains the same for all of these pitchers. Like, just score them some runs. My goodness. All right, let's take a quick break. And when we come back, because we're going to go to the top of the hour, when we come back, we'll take more of your texts, 590-590, name and location. We'll speed through as many of these as possible. So we'll give you guys a chance to get your thoughts heard on the air. And we'll talk a little bit more, certainly about the offense, maybe about some of the other bullpen pitchers outside of Jimmy Garcia and Jeff Hoffman, because I thought a good chunk of them actually acquitted themselves pretty well. We can talk about that, and then we'll get out of here at the top of the hour. So you're listening to Blue Jays Talk. Again, 590-590 is the way to reach me. Show Alley with you on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
13th professional appearance for the right-hander, and the 1-1 is hit high, deep right field. Adell racing back, on the track, it's gone! Wrapped it around the foul pole. Anthony Santander with a solo shot, and the Blue Jays lead for the first time since the first. It's 3-2 in the eighth.
It was a simpler time then. I actually thought the Blue Jays were going to win. Honest to God, hand up. I stood up here in the studio and I thought to myself, oh my God, they're going to win this game. They're actually going to win a baseball game where I'm doing Jays Talk and not Blair. And then they blew it. Oh my goodness. The Blue Jays lose 8-3 despite the home run from Santander. We also had a home run from George Springer earlier in this game, but Despite all the runs coming off of the home run, the long ball, they do lose 8-3. They fall to 16-19. You're listening to Jays Talk here on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Show Ali here with you for another 10 minutes or so. We're here until the top of the hour. You can still reach me at the text line, 590-590, name and location, please, just so I can give you a shout out. The People's Text Line is always open. We'll continue taking your texts all week long. So, you know, I'm going to try and read as many as possible. But if we don't get to your texts, just keep sending them. We'll read them throughout the week. Steven in Williams Lake, BC. Steven, nice to hear from you. All of a sudden, Hoffman is killing me in my fantasy pool. Yeah, that's tough. I mean, look, he's probably given you a fair amount of wins, I would say, already. But, yeah, it's a bad outcome for old Hoffman. Let's check in on the Bet365 standings update before we go any further. With Bet365, you can watch thousands of live games, build your own bet, and you can even make a bet while the game is still being played. 19 plus, play responsibly, Ontario only. Well, as it is so late, all of the games within the American League East, including our game, obviously, are now done. And this was a real good chance, completely wasted, for the Blue Jays to make up ground within the division. So apart from the Yankees, who absolutely crushed the Padres tonight, they scored 10 runs in the seventh inning, including 5 runs in one inning for Austin Wells. He had an RBI single and then a grand slam in the same inning. They beat the Padres 12-3. Everyone else in the division lost. The Boston Red Sox lost to the Rangers 6-1. The Phillies beat the Rays 8-4. And the Orioles lost to the Twins at Target Field 9-1. So this was a golden opportunity completely wasted by the Blue Jays. But with all of those results final, here's how the standings look. The Yankees are 20-16. The Red Sox are 18-19. The Rays and the Blue Jays are both 16-19. And the Baltimore Orioles are bringing up the rear. They are 13-21. So that's a quick check of the Bet365 standings update. I guess they can do it again tomorrow. Try again tomorrow, but gosh, like I feel like I said the same thing on Saturday and Sunday, because they had golden opportunities in each of those games to make up ground, and they didn't do it in any of these three games. So here's hoping it does happen at some point, question mark. But again, you kind of need to pick it up here if you want to come back from this West Coast swing with the Rays on deck, right? It's going to be two more in Los Angeles, or in Anaheim, I guess, against the Angels. 3 in Seattle against the Mariners starting on Friday. And then after a day off next Monday, you got the Rays at the Rogers Center, your first matchup against the Rays. Now, you can't take those games lightly. You are tied with the Rays win-loss wise right now. So I don't know. You gotta go into that series with a better look. And I'm not sure how you change things. I gotta admit. Let's go back to the text line. 590-590, name and location. And let's see. Justin the Coots. I think that's like in BC, like Kootenay, maybe, I think in BC. It's unconscionable to have a payroll this high and not have a complete rotation or big league third baseman. I'm hearing more about the third baseman these days. And not only because Ernie Clement made the error today, and that's certainly a good reason to bring this up, don't get me wrong, but we are hearing like more about that, right? Barger has not been particularly great at the plate. Hiss made some good defensive plays, certainly, and so has Clement. That's today, obviously, but yeah, I think you generally, like, traditionally expect more pop out of your third baseman. Just across the many years we have all watched baseball, that's generally been how the rosters have been constructed. Doesn't mean you always have to do it that way, but it certainly helps. And to Justin's point, it's not been the case. Goes on to say, even if the offense picks up, it'll be negated by having a decimated bullpen that's been expected to carry the offense and the rotation. It's true. And again, not letting Hoffman and Garcia off the hook because they weren't good tonight. But, I mean, you look at the rest of the bullpen, which I wanted to get to. I mean, first of all, Chad Green entered in relief of Urania. He did not throw a single pitch other than a slider in the fifth inning. He threw, I think, 10 straight sliders to Kyren Parris and Zach Neto, broken up only by the runner that was caught stealing at second base. Kind of interesting, considering that between the slider and fastball, you know, the fastball is like the sexy pitch. But Green covering off 2 more outs in the sixth. He gives up a pair of base runners. He's been fine, I guess, this year, right? We spoke about this before the season began, but especially towards the end of last year, and it's continued this year. Some of the underlying metrics have suggested that his stuff has like slightly declined. Now, last year, I kind of felt it was at least in part because he was pitching like quote unquote out of position, in the sense that the bullpen was really taxed. Like, they didn't have a real closer last year. Romano was injured for basically most of the year when he was healthy. Wasn't like he was really giving you really solid, consistent results. They trade away Jimmy Garcia at the deadline, so he finishes the year completely out of Toronto before he gets brought back in the offseason. So you're kind of using Chad Green in a spot you probably shouldn't be using him. But this year, I mean, to Justin's point, I mean, the bullpen has been similarly taxed. And again, prior to tonight, you're like, well, it's fine because Green's not being used in spots where Jimmy Garcia and Jeff Hoffman have been, right? Even Little and Fluharty have somewhat emerged to take off some of the pressure. We'll have to keep our eye on the results for Green. It was okay today because I think the right button was pushed at the right time, which hasn't always happened with John Schneider, but I suppose we'll have to see. Mason Fluharty, though, I think he continues to look pretty good. An inning of work for him is spread out over like two actual innings, including tonight. He has now only given up one earned run over 13 innings of work. That's from April 8th to May 6th, which was earlier tonight, I guess, Tuesday night. That's along 12 strikeouts, just four walks in that same period of time. So he's really settled down after a tough start to his major league career. Well done. Dylan Tate also came into this game. Now, it was just one batter, but that might have been the highest leverage spot we've seen Tate in maybe all year. I mean, again, only the one batter, and it was the nine batter, but it was a pretty big spot considering that Tate and Walker, for example, who obviously didn't pitch tonight, but they're probably the last arms you generally bring into spots like that. So I say all of that positive stuff because the truth is I'm not sure how much more it can last, right? How much more can you expect those guys, especially guys like Tate, and I'll even include Jose Urania in this, how much can you expect them to walk that tightrope if the offense doesn't provide? I'm not sure it's going to be like a lot, honestly. 590, 590, name and location. Is it too early to look at who we trade at? The deadline, James in Toronto. We have no chance this season. Again, I think it's too early. I mean, I know people are frustrated. I'm certainly very frustrated. But no, I think three games under 500 in a world where you have three wild card spots, nah, I think it's too early. Doesn't mean, I'm not saying they're going to win the World Series. I just think right now on May 6th, 7th, it's probably a little too early. If we're still at the spot after the next homestand, then maybe we'll be having those. We'll get more of those decks. Elsewhere, we got Ryan in Innisfil. Players that would lead our teams in home runs. This is a depressing list. I don't like this, Ryan, but I'm going to read it because I know the point you're trying to make. Teoscar Hernandez, Lourdes Gurriel Jr., Pete Alonso, Matt Chapman. LOL. That's not from me. That's from Ryan, the LOL. But yeah, that's tough. That's a tough look. Ooh, I mean, Pete Alonso, I think, just did not want to come play here. So I'll give them a pass on the Pete Alonso thing because, like, that was such a bizarre chase for Alonso where it like, seemed like it was done. Or it seemed like they were making inroads on him signing, and then I guess it just never happened. But he's been on fire for the Mets. My God. Matt Chapman, though, I mean, you could have kept Matt Chapman, and that would have solved Justin's point about the third base conundrum that plagues you right now. You could have easily, I mean, I am less bullish on Lourdes, but you could have easily had Teoscar in it. Right. And now, again, like the way I view the trade is different than I view him not having been signed as a free agent. Because I think those are two different things. Him being traded for Swanson and then him not being re-signed as a free agent after his Mariners career ended. I think those are two separate things you can ding the front office for, essentially. I tend to ding them more, actually, for the free agent, not re-signing them for a free agent as a free agent, rather. But that. You're not wrong, Ryan. Like the point is well made. Let's see. Shane in Brockville just put Vladdy in the three hole where he belongs and has had his two best years. His two worst years have come in the two hole. And again, like you could do that. It's just, I wonder how the rest of that batting order stands up, right? Again, like to the point from the texture from earlier, do you Bo two, Vladdy three, Santander four, and then Springer one? I guess you could do that. And again, we've seen that before, all things considered. I wonder how long, again, if it continues to struggle, the offense, and it's been struggling virtually all year. I mean, I do wonder how long we'll see, how long it'll be, rather, until we do see a change like that. Before we go, this isn't really about John Schneider specifically, but I wanted to say I loved what I saw from, because there's some text about this, about Schneider and pulling people. I loved what I saw from Ron Washington today. Top of the seventh, Tyler Anderson approaching 90 pitches. Ernie Clement had just gotten to second base with a double down the left field line. So runner on second, no one out. Ron Washington just very casually ambles out to the mound, takes his time, asks Anderson how he's doing. Does he want to stay? Do you want to turn it over to the pen? And he leaves Washington or Anderson out there. I mean, the home plate umpire walks out there and Ron Washington just stays there until he's done. Like home plate umpire be damned, essentially. He leaves him on the mound. It pays off, right? Clement doesn't advance to third until there are two outs. the reliever comes in and finishes off Bo. I mean, I know this is Jay's talk, but I love that. I wish we saw that more from managers, honestly. And it's not solely on Schneider. I think a lot of managers, including him, could do with that. But maybe Ron Washington gets away with that because he's a lifer. But the game could just use a little more of that, right? There's no escaping analytics, but there's a space in the game right now where you can still give some leeway to feel. And I think John Schneider could use a lot more of that. I think more managers should be allowed to exercise their feel for the game more. That's all I'm saying. Tomorrow we'll get Kikuchi and Barrios, so we can look forward to that. But for now, thank you for listening to Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by the local family-owned Crowners Control Centers in Nepean and Orleans. Crown is proud to be Canadian-owned and operated since 1986. Protect your vehicle from rust today at your local Crowners Control Center or visit crown.com. Crown, Canada's number one rust protection. For Ben Shulman, Chris LaRue, Tom Young, I'm Sho. The West Coast trip continues tomorrow or later today. I'm back tomorrow. Sleep fast, everyone, and we will talk to you later.